Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Keltlefter,
the home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sun Station. The Clippers proved to be long-range snipers.
Out to Rondo, and he hits a three.
Wow, that's the guy you want to shoot him.
And with CP3 out of the lineup, the Suns turned to their superstar to carry them to a Game 1 win.
Pass out front, Bridges picks it off. 2-on-1, Bridges to Booker, to Bridges, wham, bam, slam.
Talking the Suns up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Again, the alley-oop that gave him his first triple-double, and he does it in Game 1 without the Hall of Famer. Game 2 tonight right here on your Arizona Sun Station. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are live in the Auction Community Studio and proud to be the home of Al McCoy and the Suns.
Can they do it again? That is the question we asked.
I thought you were going Shaquille O'Neal there. Can they dig it?
Can they dig it? No, I was not Doug Lace. Good morning, Bay Centerians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz reporting for duty. Can they do it again? That is a question everybody is asking right now. Chris Paul, as we all know, is out for game two. Out, I say, for game two. Ron Wolfley, do we have a breaking news? No, that's probably
not. No, it's not breaking news that game two is going to happen
this
year.
It's probably
last year it would have been breaking news if we had a game two in anything.
Do we have anything? Can I break a story? I feel
what,
like Paul. Where is Paul, by the way?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Can we what's up, Paulie? Can we break a story? Can somebody break a story right now? I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, but Chris Paul is not going to be playing in game two, Ron Wolfley reporting.
By the way, there's a lot to get to today. Number one, we're pretty jacked up about this. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin co-star is going to come walking in studio this morning. Jay Williams is going to be here at 7 o'clock.
So
if you were listening to Jay Williams earlier last week, after one of the playoff games against Denver, he was so amazed at the Phoenix crowd, he said, I can't wait to get to a game, and then I'm going to come in studio with you guys, and he's backing up what he said. It wasn't just, hey, I'm just throwing out something on the phone during an interview.
Yeah.
So he's coming live in studio. He was doing his show in his hotel, and now he's going to come over here and join us at 7 o'clock.
Boy, how cool is that?
That's not only cool, but there's something, to me, it's an even bigger deal for you as a listener coming up in 7 o'clock. Do whatever you can to be listening between 7:30 and 7:50 today. It's going to be a really important time for you as a listener. Not only is Jay Will going to be joining us, but also we're going to announce a name at 7:30, and it could be you. So what you need to do is is it at 7:30 or what are we doing? Does it matter? We can do it any time in the 7? Oh, boy, that's a good question. Well, I think I just outed it, so let's just do it at 7:30 since I just said that. But what we're going to do is we're going to announce a name at some point during the 7 o'clock hour, the 8 o'clock hour, and the 9 o'clock hour.
Okay.
And then here's what's crazy. The name, you can only get your name called if you text ticket to 620-620. Okay? So you're listening. You hear me announce your name, you call in, and you've got a pair of tickets to tonight's game.
Oh.
Okay?
That's sweet.
But here's what gets even better.
Okay.
If you don't hear your name, don't call in. Give that person 10 minutes to call in because you can't win in the first 10 minutes.
Right.
But then once the next beautiful part of the program starts, we'll announce whether or not our named person called in. And if they didn't, you can steal their tickets.
Okay, so there you have it right there. You can actually steal the tickets if, in fact, they announce a name, they being Doug Lease, of course, announces the name, and that name does not call, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? They're still on the tape.
You can still get them. You can still get them. So, number one, Maloney just spoke in my ear, and I'll just tell you, because I'm so happy that you're listening this early in the morning. She said, 7:30 is not going to work, but she whispered like she was being nice to me,
right?
Because I butchered that.
Okay.
And just made up a time and then realized, wait, we didn't even check out that time and see if it works. So, 7:30 is not the best time for us to announce a name.
Okay.
So, it means it'll either happen at the beginning of the 7 o'clock, 7:15, or 7:45 beautiful part of the program.
I see.
So, make sure you're listening. and we're going to announce a name. If it's your best chance for you to win, however, is to text ticket right now to 620-620.
Okay.
So that's number one you need to know. Number two is this, before we get to the wake-up call. I have five words written on my sheet of notes here, right here. Five words.
And the number is five.
That I guarantee I will turn the most humble among you into an arrogant person that has pressed cufflinks and is standing on a balcony in a penthouse looking down at your peasants.
Never haughty.
Oh, absolutely. You will immediately be haughty and arrogant as soon as you hear these five words.
Straight right hand.
It's a guarantee. Are you ready for the five words?
Yes.
The draft lottery is tonight.
All right, I didn't see that coming. All right, I did a little bit because I actually, okay, that.
Does
right
anybody
there,
want me to, do you want the breakdown of the Orlando Magic and Houston Rockets chances at Cade Cunningham? Do you want the breakdown? Or would you like to focus on game two of the Western Conference Finals? That's how far we've come.
What's up, losers?
We used to be worried sick about it.
This is exactly what you do in the game of football, Basonies. You would champion your victories.
Yep.
I could tell you that much. The ping pong thing, ready?
Very well done.
Okay, nice. How about the L to the forehead right now, all right?
We are
unbelievable.
We're
think
at that
about
point
that
where the draft lottery is tonight and we don't care.
Hello. Yes, good morning. This is the Arizona Sports Front Desk with your wake-up call.
Thank you.
Maloney, what you got this morning?
Chris Paul is listed as out for Game 2 of Suns versus Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
I'm worried about if Kawhi Leonard comes back. But that's the only thing that worries me about losing the series to the Clippers. I'm very concerned that Chris Paul isn't playing tonight because it does make me worry, are there actual symptoms? Is he going to be out longer than anybody thought? Will we not even have him till the NBA Finals? I admit I'm worried about it, but unless the Clippers announce Kawhi Leonard is playing, I'm not worried on who wins the Suns-Clippers series. I feel like we're the best team.
All I know is this right now. This Chris Paul thing in the postseason is getting really, really weird.
It is creepy. Man, you got to feel for the guy.
DeAndre Ayton is one of the NBA's unsung stars this postseason.
Absolutely.
And there's no doubt about that. DeAndre Ayton right now, what are you becoming? That is the only question you've got to ask in regard to DA. Just watching him develop, it truly is a stunning set of circumstances. I don't know if we've ever seen anything where a player this young was developing before our very eyes to the degree in which DeAndre Ayton is.
2 months ago, getting benched in fourth quarters in order to give the Suns. Remember this. Suns have a better chance of winning if Dario Saric is in than Ayton, according to an NBA head coach. Now, that was never said by Monty Williams, but actions speak louder than words. Now, head coaches on other teams are changing entire game plans because of the performance of DeAndre Ayton.
Now he's writing articles, right, for the Players Tribune, We Dem Boys.
Merrill Kelly pitched a 7-inning gem and helped the D-backs finally end the worst losing streak in franchise history.
Man, listen, we're so jacked up about the Suns, and rightfully so. 11 years since they've been in the playoffs, never had a championship. But when you're a baseball guy, it has been miserable every night watching a team I love just kick it around. Good pitching, timely hitting, good defense for 9 straight innings. Where has that been?
You know what I love seeing, Basonians? The smiles that were in the dugout after the game. The smiles were so big. The players that actually talked to the media after the game, so big. The smile on their face. And here they won one game in the last 18.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. What winning will do for a clubhouse. It's amazing.
The D-backs and White Sox are reportedly engaged in trade talks centered around infielder Eduardo Escobar.
Not only do I believe it, I think it's going to happen reasonably quickly. Why wait? And if you're the White Sox, you're in a major battle. And don't forget, Tony La Russa has plenty of sources inside the Diamondbacks to really know the insider of a guy. And Escobar also did a little bit of DHing when he was with the Twins. Wasn't his primary job or anything, but he's used to it. he's a perfect fit in the American League. I could easily see that.
What's amazing about it is he's tied for 21st in home runs and 19th in RBIs. Think about that. Mm. The guy's not hitting for average, but man, he's driving in some runs.
According to Scottsdale Police, Cardinals first-round pick Zaven Collins was arrested on Sunday morning for reckless driving and excessive speeding. According to police, the linebacker was going 76 miles per hour in a 35 zone.
That's just scary. Zaven, that's, I hope this is a wake-up call. It's just plain scary. And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because I'll be the first one to admit I drive really fast on an open highway, but not on a city street. You know, I'm the guy actually driving 25 miles an hour in a 25 zone and having people pass me in a turn lane in my neighborhood because people think you should be able to drive 40 in a 25. Over 70 in a 35, Zaven, that's, I mean, wow.
Yeah, my first thought was what a 22-year-old thing to do right there. 22, and I've done a lot dumber at 22, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry, pick me first.
Hopefully it's a big-time wake-up call that that's not how a starting Mike linebacker can act in the NFL when you're the first-round pick of a franchise, let alone any of us should be doing that. But there's extra responsibility with what he represents.
No doubt about it. Does not excuse the behavior.
Absolutely. Coming up next, the one is what we found out yesterday. If you didn't hear about it, not good news with Chris Paul. But can the Suns just do it again? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
The reality is, when you tested positive for COVID, even if you were fortunately symptom-free or mostly symptom-free, you were looking at 2 weeks, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to play this series, but I don't know exactly when.
I would say Kawhi needs to be back more for this series than Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
Keep in mind, coming up in the next hour of the show, The Two, the second most important thing in your world is your chance to win tickets to tonight's game. So text ticket right now to 620-620 and be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll give you more details on how you can be a winner later. But the number one is clearly Chris Paul. And the fact that he's officially listed as out for tonight's game, tip-off is coming up early today. It's going to be crazy downtown. Do whatever you can to get downtown early. You'll have all of the people that work downtown getting off at 5 o'clock trying to get out of downtown. You get anybody that's going early to Diamondbacks Brewers. Diamondbacks are downtown tonight. They got a home game. And then tip-off is at 6 o'clock, plus the traffic at 5 o'clock in this town just to get anywhere.
Man.
So it's going to be crazy. So whatever you can do, try to get there. If you're in, this doesn't go for the West Siders, but if you're an East Side guy, maybe light rail will be much better option for you to get there. But make sure you're getting there early. And then, of course, there's security protocols you're going to go through when you get there. So there's so much going on downtown, which is exciting to me. It's awesome that there's so much going on.
Indeed.
But make sure that you plan ahead. Unfortunately, one of the people that will not be going to the game tonight is Chris Paul, with him being listed as out. Chris Broussard, NBA insider of FS1, joined us yesterday, and when he was on the Doug and Wolf show, he made you feel pretty good when we asked if you feel free to give us an inside report or just be a knowledgeable NBA guy who understands the protocols. When do you think Chris Paul's going to play again?
This is an educated guess, so it's not any intel or sourced information. I would say game three. That would be my educated guess.
And I felt great about hearing that. But then a few hours later, Brian Windhorst kind of made you feel a little worse. The NBA insider for ESPN said,
Chris Paul, guys, during the season, almost every player, most players who tested positive for COVID, unfortunately, missed, usually the 10 to 14 days. I know that there is a window that if you had two negative tests in a row that you could have come back before then, but That just didn't happen. And, you know, I have been told that Chris has been vaccinated. He has not said, so I don't want to verify it until it comes from his lips. But, you know, and I don't know, I'm not a doctor. I don't know how that might affect it. But the reality is, when you tested positive for COVID, even if you were fortunately symptom free or mostly symptom free, you were looking at 2 weeks, give or take.
Boy, I go all the way back to campaign in that first half.
You're
of
right.
Game one. I kid you not.
Oh, okay.
I go back all the way back to campaign in that first half of game one and just how important it was that the Phoenix Suns had a 3-point lead at the half. I don't want to blow this thing out of proportion whatsoever, but I think that allowed everybody on the Suns team to say, hey, listen, if I just do my job, if I just go about my business right here, we have a chance of winning this game, even without Chris Paul. That to me has got to be, Chris Paul is such an unbelievable force on this team, on a tangible perspective and an intangible perspective. And the fact that they went out and they got off to a good start in that first half and then actually finished in one game one without Chris Paul, how important is that going forward right now for this team? I think it's critical, the confidence level that they have.
It's interesting you said that because as soon as you said Cam, I didn't think you were going campaign.
You thought Cam Johnson.
I thought you were going Cam Johnson because I might, Maloney or Mitch, I might have to have you guys look this up, but memory serves. I remember around, gosh, I don't remember when it was, but I remember him testing positive for COVID and being told consistently, oh, he'll be fine, he'll be back, he'll be this, he'll be that. And it felt like forever until he came back. And I'm a little worried now for the first time about Chris Paul. I felt great when Chris Broussard said that to us yesterday. But in listening to Brian Windhorst, it did worry me that if everything went according to plan, I think he plays tonight. And what I mean by plan is if he tests positive, but it's a false positive, or he doesn't show any symptoms, give him a day. You take the test middle of last week. You take another test 24 hours later. Both of those are negative. You do the cardio work a day and then another cardio work. Everything's fine. You're back for game two. And the fact that he's not back is the first time where you have to go, uh-oh. Is he actually showing symptoms? Is he not showing symptoms, but he's still testing positive?
Sure.
And every time you test positive, you got to restart the clock. There's a chance, because he's not playing tonight, this could go longer. And you could be without Chris Paul, not just for game one, not just for game two, but maybe game three, maybe game four. Maybe we have zero idea when he comes back. And then now that leads into your point of how long can this train last where we get that great production from campaign and hopefully more production from Etuan Moore. I don't want to give up on him at all. I thought he had a really poor game one. And he's a very high basketball IQ, hardworking dude.
Did not get a lot of minutes.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be on top of his emotions more in game two and be ready.
Yeah, no, I honestly, I just have to go back to game one and how well they played in game one and the fact that they actually won that game because of Chris Paul not being able to play in game two. Because Chris Paul may not be able to play, who knows? Game four, game five, I don't know. Nobody knows. To your point, Douglas, that's why I think, once again, it was so critical that they played well and won a game.
You're right.
Against the Clippers because of that. They know, hey, listen, if we go out, you do your job, I'll do mine, we're going to go out here. This is a team that actually went 8-0 in the bubble, of course. You do your job. Don't you worry about me. I'm going to compete. You do the same thing. And I think the toughness of this team is one of the things I appreciate the most about them.
There were 2 points you made that I think both need followed up on. Let's go with one about we don't know. This is Robert Sarver yesterday on CNBC. He was on their show Power Lunch. And the general the owner of the Phoenix Suns said something that kind of made me a little worried when you just put it in the phrase of expect.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to play this series, but I don't know exactly when. You know, that's up in the air at this point. But I do know he's been actively engaged with our players. And fortunately, during the season, helped us set a foundation of, you know, winning culture and next man up. And We've got a number of players that are taking advantage of that opportunity and filled in really good last night and helped our team to a victory.
The reason why that worried me is he didn't say, well, I expect him to play when we get to L.A. I expect, you know, he didn't put this series. This series still has a week and a half left.
You know what I'd be
doing? So that kind of made me a little nervous on that.
If I were Monty Williams right now, based on needs, I'd be setting the table for this team. I'd be telling them don't expect him to play.
That's why I think the second point that you made is really important of, let's say, kind of the speculation I threw out there is right, that, wait a minute, since he's not back for game two, maybe this is a little bit of a bigger issue than we were all hoping for. Imagine finding out the news yesterday that you're not going to have Chris Paul for game two after you're already down 0-1.
No.
After you prove that campaign can't start an NBA playoff game.
You'd have to bone up.
After all the negatives of a loss in game one, and now you were thinking going into game one, we just have to get through game one, we're going to get Chris Paul back. And then you find out you don't have Chris Paul and you're down 0-1. The difference now is, I realize it's only one game, and listen, this is a Clippers team that's been down 0-2 twice. In both series, they were down 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
So even winning tonight does not ice this series. But imagine the difference of finding out you're not going to have Chris Paul tonight when you already feel like you've established, wait, we're the better team. I think the Suns feel like we're the better team. I know I do.
Right.
I feel like they're a better team than the Kawhi-less Clippers. So now you can go into a game two not as worried, oh, no, we don't have Chris Paul. It can be more, we need Chris Paul to beat the Bucks.
Yes.
So if we need Chris Paul to beat Milwaukee, let's do our job now, get through the Clippers, and give Chris Paul plenty of time.
Basinonians, confidence is the currency of competition. Never forget that. Confidence is the currency of competition. Every player individually goes through periods of his career where, man, he just doesn't feel right. You just don't feel right. You know, 10 years of playing in the National Football League, and I can tell you right now that I went through these phases, these periods. Now, it wasn't over an entire season, thank goodness, but a week here, a week there, a month here, you just didn't feel like yourself. You were getting beat. You were getting hammered into the ground, whatever it may be. You didn't have that confidence that you could go out and roll. And then when you did have that confidence, when things were going well for you, oh my goodness, the way you'd go out and just ball out naturally. This is something that you cannot forget. Confidence is the currency of competition. And this team right now is a confident team playing against the Clippers, even without Chris Paul.
Coming up next, we got a question for you. Feel free to tweet us at DuganWolf987. You know how this works. We're doing the Suns three-pointer. It's time to look at game two, 6 o'clock tonight, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Your question, the three things the Suns need to do in order to be up 2-0. It's coming up next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Doug and Wolf talk Suns Clippers now.
Shazam!
Suns.
Three-pointer.
On the Doug and Wolf Show.
Here's how Suns three-pointer works. We give you a question. Wolf and I give you our 3 points as answers to the question. You tweet us at DuganWolf987, and we read some of yours as we go.
Whammo! Devin Booker in one.
Point number one of today's question, which is, what are the three things the Suns have to be able to do in order to be up 2-0 when they don't have Chris Paul again tonight?
Number one.
My number one, it starts with Ayton on the attack. D.A., I'm not asking you to do anything different you've done in these playoffs, anything different than you've done in game one. But the whole offense starts with you setting a good screen, and I mean attacking the rim. The difference right now in the DA you're seeing is he doesn't run through the stages of an offense like a robot. First I go here, then I'm going to go here, then I'm going to go here. Now I turn and see if the ball's coming. No, he's attacking with his hands up. He's in a stance, and he's ready for a pass at any moment. That focus is why there's so many Ayton dunks. And nothing happens without the Clippers living in fear of you doing that again.
He's ready. I think that's the important operative words you actually put together right there. My first point of Suns three-pointer base openings has got to be the Suns need to share the ball like they did in game one. 31 assists. Without Chris Paul, 31 assists on 49 made shots. They had all five starters score in double figures in game one and six guys in total. They shot the ball very, very well and need to do that again if they want to win. Share the ball. Be a team. That's point one.
Fade back 14-footer is 2 points. Dynamite.
I like what Phoenix Suns at Phoenix Fans app sent in. He just said, keep feeding DA. That was his number one. I'm with you, but I think my number two plays off of that. That's going to be important.
Number two.
My second point of Suns three-pointer, the three things that you have to see in order for the Suns to be up 2-0, even though they don't have Chris Paul. I think you're going to see the Clippers already be intimidated by Ayton and dramatically change the way they guard the pick and roll. I think they're going to trap whoever has the ball or at least blitz him and try to quickly double as soon as DA jumps out on somebody. What's that going to be? That's going to be Cam Johnson. That's going to be Jay Crowder. That's going to be Mikal Bridges. That's going to be some open looks at three, to your point, on one. If you get quick ball movement out of that pick and roll, because the Clippers have to adjust. They can't just play a standard pick and roll defense. There's going to be open threes off of quick passing. Move the ball, hit the three, and you will punish the Clips.
Okay, my second point of Suns three-pointer, they need to get another big performance from Devin Booker. They need another great game by Devin Booker. You got to imagine right now, the Clippers are going to do everything they can to stop Devin Booker. Do not allow Devin Booker to beat you. Get the ball out of Devin Booker's hands. It doesn't mean that D-Book has to go out and score 40. Doesn't mean he has to go out and record another triple-double, 40, 13, and 11. What it does mean is he's got to go out and make great decisions out on the floor when he does put his hands on the ball. Devin Booker has got to play fantastic, lights out on both ends of the floor for them to win.
At Jason McTeague, hopefully I got your name right, Jason, tweeted us, and he has a bunch of clapping hands emojis, Wolf. So are you ready?
Yes.
He says his big key is for the Suns to rebound that basketball. Rebound that basketball.
Three-pointer, Shazam!
That's just showing off right there.
Right.
Thank you, Timmy.
Jason, you've got a good one right there. I had to give that to you.
Number three.
And that's your Suns PA voice, Vince Murata, who's coming up from 10 to 2 today on Bickley and Murata, and he will be there live at Phoenix Suns Arena tonight. And our number three, my number three for Suns three-pointer of the three things the Suns need to do in order to be up 2-0, even without Chris Paul, is force. I think you're going to see Marcus Morris Sr., you're going to see Jackson, you're going to see Batum. They're going to try to shoot a lot more threes to open things up for Paul George. Chase them off that three. Make them hit twos, make them put the ball on the ground. The Clippers are dramatically different when Morris, Jackson, and Batum are hitting threes. Most of them stunk in game one. They're going to try to establish themselves in game two. Don't let them at all. Make it a one-man show with Paul George.
Okay, this is part of who they are. I got to go with number three, my third point of Suns three-pointer base earnings. They need to be even better on the defensive end of the floor. This is who they are. This is their culture. This is what they can always fall back on, regardless of how they're playing on the offensive end, regardless of whether or not the shots are going in. They need to double down on the defensive end of the floor. The Clippers shot 43% from three, and that cannot happen again if the Suns hope to win this game. Rebound the basketball, indeed. Don't give the Clippers a lot of second chance points or looks for that matter. They got to lock it down on the defensive end. That's my Suns three-pointer.
Minch hit the close.
Rebound that basketball.
It's going to be reasonably important today. Dalai Lama tweeted the show at Doug and Wolf 98.7. DA dominates. Clippers under 17 threes made.
Ooh, I like that.
I like that as a bar.
I like that.
And he really nails his last one, too. Better backup point guard minutes. You are so right, and I agree, and I believe it won't be a problem. Look at Etuan Moore, stare him down, and say, Moore, you didn't play well. Every time Jackson had the ball, he got past you, and the first thing you did when you came into the game is you turned it over and you missed an open three. It's got to be better. And it never really got much better through the rest of the game.
And guess what?
I believe in that guy so much. Yeah. I just think, hey, it's been a while since he's played huge minutes. He'll be there, and he'll be a lot better in game two.
And you know the Clippers are going to give him some open threes.
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead, Etuan.
That's true.
How about it right here?
He's
going to have to prove, right? He's going to have to prove that he can do it.
Wookie was kind of simple. He just went defense, defense, more defense. I'm not worried about the defense. I'm worried about some of the Clippers getting off on threes. I thought the rotations to close out on some of the corner threes, sometimes it was really good, but in order to be an NBA champion, it's got to be a little better. And that's, the only way the Clippers win this game is to get hot from three, because one of the things that was so clear, especially without Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard, I think Booker's going to outplay George, but only by a little bit. That's going to be mostly a wash. The big question is everything else. The other guys, the role players, who's going to win that battle?
See, defensively, I don't ever want to take that for granted. I never want to see them take that for granted. That is who they are. It's part of their culture. We share the ball around here, and we play defense. That's what we do. You can always fall back on that because of the effort right here. So to me, I don't ever want to take that for granted, Doug Lease. Get better. Double down on the defensive end of the floor.
I'm totally with you. Coming up next in the Auction Community Studios, because he's such a gamer, and probably because it's the Coach K in him, J. Will got here early, so why make him wait? The co-host of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the house, as J. Will will join us in the Auction Community Studios with the question on everybody's mind. Are the Suns going to the NBA Finals? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
What up, Jay?
The home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns playoff roundtable, brought to you by Bud Light Seltzer.
Well, it is so cool when somebody says something when you're having a conversation. And you know you can trust J. Will, but at the same time, how easy is it to say before your body clock gets you up at 2:30 in the morning, hey, I want to come in studio and be with you guys. And then when you realize your own show starts at 3 in the morning, you could have easily changed your mind. But J. Will said he wanted to come in studio, and here he is, co-star of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Dookie, and joins us in the Auction Community Studios. First of all, thanks. Secondly,
I like the Dookie intro. It makes me feel slightly uncomfortable here in Arizona, considering our history, but I like it. It's okay.
But you're looking at the U of A standpoint, but since we have a Dookie as a head coach at ASU,
all love now.
It's all good now.
Yes.
So you're fine. I'm just going to start with this. Your experience at game one of Suns Clippers.
Doug, this was my first live sporting event in a year plus. Okay. I walk in, and I'm hearing the music bang. I'm seeing people at the bar. It's packed already. And I just got so excited because I haven't been around people like this. And I'm like, I'm going to have a beer. I need to have a beer and witness. So some fan is like, I'm looking around. Some fan's like, Jay, do you want a beer? I'm like, yes. I was, putting out energy for somebody. And I had half a beer before I went on set. And it felt like a college town. Oh. It felt like a college basketball game in a pro arena. I've never felt anything like it. It made me feel like I should have came here and played instead of being in Chicago. Oh. I love Chicago, but this is different.
Man, CJ, that's a strong statement.
You've already got Doug's attention with a beer talk.
You did. Okay? Every listener to the show thought, boy, Doug likes Jay Will now.
Exactly. Now, Jay, I've got to ask you, where'd you go eat last night? That's what I want to know.
So I got to be honest. I haven't had a chance to go out and eat yet.
Oh,
Because, last night, well, I'll be honest I had a couple of margaritas at the hotel. And I found myself, it was 7:30. I'm like, I should probably lay it down.
Probably a wise thing.
This is going in the bad direction.
No one's going to mock you for going to bed at 7 o'clock when you've got to get up at 2. Yes. It's all good.
And then I have to listen to Kayshawn talk all the time. Or you can call him Keyshawn. I call him Kayshawn because it's pretty annoying. But he's my boy.
Oh, that's fantastic. The arena renovations are incredible. And that was, and maybe you can rip me for it, but the first thing I noticed the first time I walked in, I went to that Suns home game against the Knicks was my first experience in a sense, the new arena, even though it's the same building, but it's gutted and gorgeous now. And I walk in, there's a bar right here. Like, I just got in and there's a bar here.
It's like spotlit, too. This is where I need to gravitate towards.
And I can still see the game. And for those of you that weren't at the game, that's right where Jay Wills has the setup for ESPN. So you're right in front of it. You turn around and see the game, or you face the bar. You win either way.
This is how cool my wife is. My wife sends me a text during the middle of the game because it shows the jib shot of us coming in. It shows the bar
and
all the people at the bar. My wife is like, hey, look, I love you. Stay focused on the game. I was like, I love you. Man, you know, I love
fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
All right, honestly, whenever we have somebody come in here.
Doug makes us talk beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only the beer talk that Doug Lease actually engages in, but I love to get a little background on you. Okay,
Glenn? All right.
I want to know if you played the game of football. Have you ever played at high school? Did you play in high school?
I played in Pop Warner.
Okay, in Pop Warner.
Yes.
If, in fact, you did play football, Jay, where do you think you'd play? What position do you think you'd play?
Probably considering my frame, Wolf, I would probably be a running back.
Okay.
Probably a running back. I mean, I'm 6'2". Yeah, I'm 6'2", 210 pounds. I feel like I had the frame I could have put on weight. I would probably be in a good position for me, and I was fast.
Every down back? Is that what you're imagining yourself as?
I'm not that kind of a worker. I have to be honest with you.
Give me the ball.
Situational,
But I'm not all about being pretty. Give me the ball. You know, that's fine.
I mean, I'm not Ezekiel Elliott. I'm not wearing a tummy shirt. But, I feel like I would do some
little blitz pickup.
Come on now.
Bring on a linebacker every now and then.
Run right through
him. Why not? Yeah, I like that, Jay.
And then I'll be over at the sideline. Getting a lot of Gatorade.
Okay.
How exciting is this for you to do a morning show and being allowed to talk and not having Keyshawn, monopolize everything? This is awesome to hear you.
It's an interesting challenge that you bring up here, Doug, because I feel like every time I talk to you guys, it's like, oh, wow, everybody shares the rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like CP3. It's like DeAndre Ayton, you score 20. Devin Booker, you score 30. Maybe I'll have 13 assists, I'll score 20. When you're with Keyshawn, it's more like Kobe. It's more like, you're going to have 50. I had to pick my spots. I had to be Derek Fisher. But
you're
that's
not
okay.
Getting the ball back. Is that what you're saying?
Robert Orr still got paid a lot of money playing with Kobe.
You didn't say.
I'm not comparing Keyshawn to Kobe. I take that back.
Okay.
But you know what I meant.
I thought for a second you said Robert Horry. And I thought, wait.
Yes.
We don't talk about Robert Horry.
Robert Horry with the hip check.
I have to remember where I am located.
Yes.
I am sorry.
You could tell we're still bitter. We are still very, very bitter.
Yeah, Donahue. There's some names that you just don't say.
Yeah.
You don't say around here. I get it.
It runs deep, without a doubt.
I respect that.
If you didn't know, Jay Williams is live in studio with us, and we got so much to talk about. But as you look at what you saw in game one reveals so many things about what the coaches are thinking the entire series. Then you mix in no Kawhi and CP3. What did you see in game one that you think is the first thing you're thinking of? That coach is going to make this adjustment for tonight's game.
So the blitzes that they ran on Devin Booker, or the way they trapped the screen. And there's so many games. Like, even if you go back to the Milwaukee-Brooklyn series when, Coach Budenholzer played drop coverage, and that means pretty much like, the big guarding the guy setting the screen for the guard typically sits back like around the free throw line. And if you're a guard like CP3, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, I mean, your eyes just become so massive because essentially it's a 2-on-1 and bigs can't guard guys coming off those screens. So I think at first when they tried to double team Devin Booker, I give him a lot of credit, got the ball out of his hands, and the way they rotated the ball, 31 assists in game one. It was brilliant passing. So, and then I think once they got out of that because they were killing them with the three-point shots, that's when Devin Booker was like, it's time for me to take over. So I think you're going to see them try to give different looks to Devin Booker to make him think, to make Phoenix react more defensively and not let them be as comfortable shooting a three ball.
That makes perfect
Jay,
sense.
Were you surprised the Suns played so well in game one without Chris Paul?
Wolf, I felt like I was watching a documentary, and it was – the Cameron Payne transformation documentary.
Wow.
Like I'm a Chicago Bulls fan, obviously, okay? I watched Cam in Chicago, and I was like, that's not the Cam I saw in Chicago. I don't know who the hell that is. That's somebody different right here. So just watching the way he orchestrated the game, watching how he was – it's so easy. And you guys know this, Wolf. Like, when you're in big games, it's easy to lose yourself, to not be composed. And this dude was just always steady, and he just made the game easy for everybody. It was special to watch, man.
Jay, you know, it's so funny. Big games. You mentioned big games. I have to tell you. I feel like I have to tell you this. I never played in a playoff game.
Okay.
All right? I'm just telling you right now.
That makes two of us, Whoopi. That makes two of us. We're in the same boat.
No way.
I only played 1 year.
Wait a minute. I'll say I never did either. So. Yeah. There you go.
Wait a minute. I am sorry, Jay.
No, don't be sorry.
I honestly never played on a winning team.
Hmm. Yeah,
7-9, Jay. We had the towel on at 7-9. We're, you know, just honestly, 10 years. That's almost impossible. Three different teams.
But you went to bowl games, Wolf. You can hug it out on bowl games.
What do you mean? You're talking about the Pro Bowl? Is that what?
No, I meant West Virginia. You went to some bowl games.
No, of course I went to bowl games. If that was college, it didn't.
Before you were born, Jay, there were some bowl games that he was in. So that's cool.
It just
what kind of bowl games are we talking about, Wolf? Like
like the Blue Bonnet Bowl?
Yeah.
No, I we did go to
Popeye's Chicken Bowl.
We went to the Peach Bowl, Basinonians. Went to the Blue Bonnet Bowl, the Hall of Fame Bowl, the Gator Bowl.
How many bowls are there now?
I don't know. There's too many.
I believe
is there a Church's Chicken many. Bowl? I mean, I feel like there's a lot of different stuff.
Let's go if there is.
See, I'm the beer guy. He's the food guy. That's why he asked you about the
Budweiser Bowl.
You were all over that.
Make mine spicy, please.
We're jacked up to have Jay Will live in studio. We've got him for an hour. We're going to talk almost all Suns, but something massive happened yesterday. The 17-game streak ended, and most importantly, the roundtable continues with one major topic. We haven't seen somebody grow like D.A., has Jay Will.
Ooh.
That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Great tease.